Are you listening?
The Future is Here podcast, Radical Middle Edition, is for the leaders, the dreamers, provocateurs, misfits, the frustrated frontline leaders. Are you tired of a reactive church? Where the right is wrong, but the left ain't right either? It's time to build the church we dream of now.
Are you listening?
What's up, friends? Welcome to episode 3 of The Future is Here, the Radical Middle Edition. Like always, I'm here with Freddie. Now, today, what we're going to talk about is what is the root of our identity crisis? We're talking about Christians. Like, I think we have an identity crisis. And in the episode, if you watch the show on YouTube, the episode talks about the empire versus the kingdom. And then a few moments ago, you just said something really disturbing to me.
Yeah, I confess that I have never seen Star Wars.
This is ridiculous to me.
Hey, so, no, sorry.
And so in the episode, we talk about, right, the empire, and nobody, you don't identify with the empire when you watch Star Wars. I know you don't know what I'm talking about.
Those are the bad guys?
Those are the bad guys, okay. Right? It's always like, we're the rebels, but the reality is that you have to see yourself either that you are part of the empire or that at least you're influenced by it. I mean, you might be woke and you're up on stuff, but you still hear the propaganda every single day. And so really this idea that we have an identity crisis as Christians, right? Mm. I mean, you understand what
I'm
saying, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that as people who are leading movements or leading communities, when we think of identity crisis, we think that someone is having it. We never look introspectively at the collective, like believers, Christians, followers of Christ can have an identity crisis. And I looked up what an identity crisis means. And the general definition is when someone is questioning their place in the world based on who they are. So, bro, like, what leads to someone having an identity crisis?
Well, I mean, I feel like that's what Christianity, like Christendom in the United States, is in a huge identity crisis. And that's what this whole conversation of Radical Middle is about, is trying so that we don't just go to our camps, right? And everybody else is an idiot or they're wrong or whatever. But we come to this place and go, okay, one, we love Jesus. Two, we believe in scripture. But three, we want to come to that middle to dialogue to figure out how do you do this? Because, I mean, even for me, man, identity, even my personal identity, I feel in tension all the time, right? I mean, look at me, bro. I got blue eyes. I'm a, you know, I look completely white. I'm a, you know, I'm a man. But the reality is I'm mixed. I'm like a quarter Filipino, but I grew up in the black community. My dad lives in Mexico. I have Mexican brothers and sisters since I was like, my dad moved down there when I was like 11, you know, down there.
Yeah.
I worked and lived in immigrant neighborhoods for 20 years. I even was on the preaching team of a predominantly Asian church.
Yeah.
So who am I? I have like, so that really, I struggle with that. And then I struggle with, we were just joking about this. I've always, you know, come from the margins. I always like identify with the margin. I think scripture is written from the margins. But what happens when you make it or you come up or you know what I mean? Or you find yourself in the majority, like how I've also found myself with all the privilege that this, you know, comes with. And so this is the stuff that I feel is like so difficult and why the radical middle is so important.
Bro, like, you know, thinking about the people who are in that state where they, as leaders, are having a crisis because they're called to serve the marginalized or those that are less privileged, but then they just feel disqualified based on the color of their skin as well, you know? And then in your sense, man, I don't know how many people might know that. Man, we've never had this conversation.
Right.
But I mean, did you struggle with that idea that, you know, like the color of your skin would somehow disqualify you from leading an urban youth worker?
Guys, wow. So I literally was like, Larry Acosta, right? Our founder was like, hey, they approached me with this job offer, right? And they go, we think you're the guy. Now, granted, it was after a couple failed attempts with some other folks, right? And it was one of my first questions. I go, hey, listen, man, you really should have someone who's Latino, African-American, like at least a full person of color, right? I'm mixed, but look at me, bro. And they came back to me and were like, no, you're it. And I struggle with that. I've always struggled with that. That's also part of this radical middle where I struggle with my own identity. And I think we've got to talk about this, especially since this next generation coming up, the majority of them are non-white anyway.
Yeah.
And so there's a huge demographic shift. And so we've got to address these kind of issues of identity in a really deep way.
What made you aware of that though? Like, why wasn't like you being approached for, you know, the CEO position and, you know, the responsibilities of a CEO? Why wasn't like, man, your faithfulness to Christ, you know, why wasn't your qualifications, you've served in urban communities, you know, like you said, you have a diverse background and, you know, unique circle of friends, and you've led nonprofits before, you started your own, and, you know, that we could say, hey, that was successful. Why were you so aware of that, that made all these other things that you would say, hey, that person's qualified, Tommy's qualified. Why was this such a thing hanging in front of you?
Yeah, I mean, because I think of, this sounds really prideful, but I've done the work, right? So I've been in places where I was in the minority. And so I had to think through that, and I had to understand it, and I had to understand the cultures around me, and I wanted to fit in, right? So on that journey with that, I'm going, but I'm also, you know, my identity in Christ. And so all those things like come into play theologically. What do I believe about that? What have people said about me? I think it's important because I was thinking through, I understand my privilege. I understand who I was created to be. I'm mixed. Mm-hmm. I live in the tension all the time. Mm-hmm. Why does God want me here? And I really think that he placed me here because I'm a bridge builder, right? I'm like, so I think for such a time as this, but I had to think through it and work through it, right? But even for us in this conversation, and for those of you guys who are listening and struggle with the same thing, I mean, I think these things are really important in the kingdom of God, in following Christ. And I don't think we should just cover over them because, like, well, our identity's in Jesus and he's colorblind and all that kind of, like, you know, crap that people say that I'm like, I don't think that's actually true. Like, even for you, Freddie, I mean, okay, as a Latino man, like, how has this idea of identity, like, worked out for you?
So you said something earlier that normally as believers, we don't identify with the empire, right? And that Jesus identifies with the marginalized, the poor, the least, the last. And even when he had the opportunity to back a political faction of the Jewish community, he didn't.
Right.
He forfeited the opportunity to lead a rebellion. Like, people were willing to follow him. Yeah. And if he would have said, hey, let's bear arms.
They would have got down.
And have an insurrection. you know, they probably would have done it. But he forfeited that. And so you're saying, like, we're supposed to identify with that Jesus.
Yeah.
But as a Latino, that's not what we are taught. Mm. You know, our parents will remind us how many deserts they had to walk through, mm-hmm. rivers they had to swim,
yep.
mountains they had to climb, borders they had to jump, so that we would be given a better opportunity in this country than they had in their respective countries. And for our parents, the way you succeed in the world is not by staying in the margins.
Right, yeah.
They left the most marginalized countries to be able to come to one for chasing an American dream. And they're giving us an opportunity. So they put all these high expectations on us. Yeah. Like, you know, you're going to be a lawyer, you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be a politician, you're going to be... For us, success is you got to be in the front.
Right.
And so we were engraved that for us, we were representing and we were going to bring everybody out of the hood. We were going to buy mom a house, you know, in the neighborhoods where she was cleaning the houses.
Right.
You know, and we were going to buy our parents a house in the place where our dad was doing the landscaping. And so for us, Tommy, I think that, you know, for a lot of Latino people, it's like not accomplishing those things wrestles with our identity. Like, we look at those things as failure because we didn't accomplish the thing that if our parents could come here, we should at least accomplish that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Given all the opportunities. And so I wrestle with that because I'm like, then am I not really Latino if I have not succeeded at this age when my parents came here to give me all those opportunities?
Right. And so, and then, which is such a beautiful story, man. I appreciate you even sharing that. The other layer of all this is, how does whiteness and American, we talk about American nationalism and American culture. Yeah. How does that all kind of, like, the syncretism all come together and just add different layers to it? Where I'm saying I don't think there's a right answer. There's not like, hey, dude, you got to stay poor. I don't think that's the answer. But yet there's this calling from Jesus to go, dude, I still care about the margins. What does that look like for your life? And are you still about it? Do you remember where you're coming from? How do you... So, and that's what I was saying. I think it was in episode one, we talked about this, about, like, it's not this black and white, like, well, there's only one path, right? Now, truth is, you know, it's not relative, but it's absolute, but there's this gray of relationship. And I think there's a calling that God also wants to use your ethnicity. He wants to use your socioeconomic background. He wants to use your education. He wants to use country of origin. You can use all of that for his glory. And that's where I think I would rather dialogue with people and just go, well, what could that look like?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. But I still feel like, you know, like our Black brothers and sisters, you know, our Latinos who are like, you know, our Asian community, they're still suffering a lot of injustices, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they are not getting earthly justice, and they're believers. And their hope is in Christ, 100%, absolutely. But when the church doesn't stand alongside the oppressed,
absolutely,
and the victims, it almost seems like, okay, well, my Christianism, my Christian identity,
yeah,
and who I, the community I identify with, isn't vowing to help me fight for this justice,
right,
that we deserve as human beings. And so now I'm going to go to my Blackness, my Latinoness, you know, my race or my gender. I'm going to identify with, because those communities that identify with those attributes, with my race, my culture, my language, my heritage, my gender, whatever it is, they are more vocal about fighting against the empire than my, you know, self-identified Christ believers.
Yeah.
That is the struggle, Tommy. And I think that we're trying to navigate as believers, well, from what position do we stand for justice?
Mm-hmm.
Do we advocate for the marginalized? Do I do it as a minority who's a believer, or is it a Christian above all else?
Yeah, I mean, I love this conversation because I haven't heard it. Like, I don't hear a ton of these conversations because I think it's really hard.
Yeah.
But I think there's a beauty in the struggle and pressing into the tension of it. I think there's the answers found in that. And I think the conversations around that can be so beautiful. And like, honestly, that's the kind of church I want to see.
Hmm.
I want to see a church that goes, hey, we made it, right?
Mm-hmm.
People are thriving, and we're going to find other people that aren't, and we're going to help them thrive. Hmm. So to live the abundant life of Christ. And it's not always tied to economics or education, but those are really helpful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, absolutely. Like, and what I think what's beautiful is the mission of that is actually part of the sanctification process for those who have made it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we always talk about, you know, those who with means and those without the means, like they actually address each other's poverty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And there's a beautiful, like, there's mutuality. You need each other. And that's the kingdom of God. And I think to accept and to receive everything that each of those people are is beautiful. And that's when, you know, when people say stuff like, I don't see color, or I don't, you know, I'm like, well, that's too bad, because God made me, or he made you, or he made this person, like he created them that way.
Yeah.
And the word says that they were wonderfully created and made, right? And so why can't we receive that?
Yeah.
And there's an awesome book by Dr. Robert Chow Romero. It's called Brown Church. And he talks about Revelations 20, I think it's 21, where it talks about, you know, at the end, that God will receive into the eternal city all the blessings of the nations. And really what he's talking about is like all the cultural, ethnic, like gifts that are glorifying to God are received and give glory to God. And so I go, beautiful. So if the kingdom is now and not yet, that means we should receive them now.
Yeah.
And so if I can meet someone from a different ethnicity and they understand God in a little bit different way than I do, or they understand a piece of scripture in it, I want to receive that instead of trying to whitewash it and just be like, no, there's only this.
Yeah.
And if you want to make it, you have to adhere to this. And that's the part that I go, oh man. And that's why I don't understand, even outside of theology, bro. I just go, I don't understand why people wouldn't want a multicultural America. It's wonderful. Like even just on the base, and I don't mean to keep it at this, but just even on the basis of food.
Yeah.
Like why would you just want one type, like when
and
you could
music.
Have yeah and music and dancing and art and all these beautiful cultural things?
Yeah.
I just go to replace that with kind of this monochromatic kind of just blah, you know what I mean, culture. Well, and I'm like, it's frustrating.
I do feel that sometimes the institution that is sometimes in bed with the empire, I do feel that the rhetoric that we're hearing as minorities sometimes is, well, yeah, God doesn't look at skin color, and you're his child. You're his child first. You're, you know, you got to be more like Christ. And when you see injustices in the world, you got to be like Christ, and you got to turn the other cheek.
You're right.
Bro, ask a Latino or a Black person right now, bro, we're tired of turning the other cheek.
Yeah.
the church isn't helping us. It's we feel that way. Mm-hmm. We're being passed over opportunities. And so it's so easy sometimes to lean into like this color of my skin again, because it's like they're rioting, they're making their voice heard.
Right. Yeah.
And so like now we have this idea where we're fighting, you know, to put people in political power that more looks like me on the outside than the Christ that's within me.
Yeah.
And what is that tension, Tommy? What is the tension there where like, you know, I will vote a Latino in or a Black person in over anything, regardless of what they stand for or
yeah.
what kind of person they are. They could be the most jacked up person with so many scandals as we've seen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But because they profess something that is appealing to me, I'm going to go ahead and endorse them.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up that, and that's a tension right there, because even anybody who's listening to this, they might be like, whoa, you know, but I'm like, that's exactly what's been happening since the inception of our country. Like, I don't, right? Mm-hmm. So I think one group that does this really well, friends, and you should check this out, is the AND campaign. If you look up the AND campaign, mm-hmm. they walk this line so well on how do you stick towards biblical principles and how do you engage in politics? I mean, like so much better than even our conversations could be here. So check them out. And I think they have a lot of great answers on how do you engage in that space. You know, for me, it's just like, I look at it and go, what, how can I join in so that whatever the context I'm in looks more like the kingdom of God?
Yeah.
And when it doesn't, and we all look the same, I'm like, that doesn't adhere to scripture, what really looks like. Yeah. So
I do think that sometimes, you know, we could also unintentionally to stand with our brothers and sisters, we could also self-segregate from other communities
oh, yeah.
that are fighting the same plight as us. And so here's my question, is identity in Christ and then all these things that are true about us, those of us that are white, Black, you know, Asian.
Mixed.
is there a hierarchy of identity? Like, are we Christians first, Latino second, or am I a male first who happens to be Latino? Like, yeah. Is there a hierarchy to my identity?
I think there is, but the hierarchy really is Christ first. Like I identify as, I follow Christ. And I think you see that in scripture. I do. You know what I mean? Paul talks about that. Mm. I think underneath that, though, is to receive all the things that you really are. And I think there's a journey there of healing, friends, of going, and I know I've been through it and I'm on it, of reconciling, this is who God made me to be. Because I'll tell you, Freddie, growing up, man, in sixth grade, I had a teacher, his name was Mr. McDuffie, African-American man, older, went through the civil rights fight. And this little white-looking kid, right, sixth grade class at Elliott Junior High, I wrote an essay. And in the essay, it talked about how I wish I was Black. So he's got this, like, this little skinny white kid, and he's going, like, he gave it to my mom. He was like, can
please, wait, Mr. McDuffie was Mr. what?
He was Black.
Okay.
And he was just like, can you please talk to your son? Like, let him know. But I so wanted to, I just wanted to be something. I want to be a part of something. Mm. And when I read scripture and I read the gospel and I read the family of God that I get to be a part of, that you and I, even though I'm not Latino, right? We're brothers.
Yeah.
Like, that's beautiful. In fact, I get to learn about your culture. I get to learn your language. I get to learn your food. I get to learn who you are. I get to learn how you think about scripture and your family and all that. That's a gift to me.
Yeah.
And you know what? The world's not like that. The world is all about division.
Mm-hmm.
But Christ brings us together, and that's beautiful. But if I'm cutting that off because no, dude, there's only Jesus and your Latino-ness doesn't matter, I'm missing out on the gift that you really are. And I think if we thought more about it like that, the kingdom would be experienced by more people and they'd be like, 100%. Yeah, man, like I want that. And it's like, yeah, because that's what the kingdom of God is like. It's unlike the empire. It's not like the world.
Yeah. I would say, I think the challenge for those that are listening to us right now is, hey, go find someone else and listen to their story, because it's the stories that would connect us, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Bro, thank you so much for sharing all of that.
Yeah, man.
Because it gives us a lot of hope to know that we don't have to be divided, that we could unite under, you know, Christ, even with all of our differences.
Yet without putting those to the side, right?
Yeah, yeah. Without forfeiting them.
Right.
Because we get to bring those
receive
things to
it.
The table.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for sharing that.
It's good, man.
And we just encourage each and every single one of you listening to us to just engage in this conversation. Send us a question. Ask these questions with those around you. And I think we're going to learn so much how like really similar we can be and at the same time celebrate our differences. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you next time.
Are you listening?
If you liked today's episode of The Future is Here, Radical Middle Edition, subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget to check out The Radical Middle Show on YouTube at UIWI.
Are you listening?